Blog Talk Radio.
He missed! Step up now! Look at him! He missed! And it won! They got us! Indiana got us!
Oh! Oladipo!
Ha ha! Fredell all the way outside to Watford. Three on the way! Oh! It went in! It went in! And Indiana wins the ball game! Christian Watford with a three!
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
This is Indiana, yeah, we do it big. Boston on the Big Ten, you know what it is. Cause this is IU, you, you. This is IU, you, you. We got papers on the wall, and this is how we fall. Talking about the who chairs. Talking about the who.
Welcome, Indiana fans, to another episode of the Assembly Call, an episode that I think we begin with kind of mixed emotions tonight. Of course, Indiana lost tonight to Ohio State 67-58 in a game that we'll spend some time breaking down tonight. So that obviously leads to kind of some frustration, but overall this is, I think, a jubilant and celebratory night because of what happened after the game, and that is senior night honoring Jordan Hulls, Derek Elson, and Christian Watford for really just their incredible contributions to Indiana basketball, and really a story, a chapter of Indiana basketball history that is unique, and that really turned a corner when those guys got here, and they were able to be honored tonight, gave really just some great speeches. I mean, all three of them, you know, memorable in their own ways, eloquent in their own ways, but to see young men like that get up there and be so composed, to be so appreciative, and just to honor their families and the fans and just give such great, it was really good. I always get emotional watching those senior speeches, And it was really neat watching them get up there and do that. And we'll certainly look at me, I'm getting choked up. We'll certainly talk about that tonight too. Just kind of a night of mixed emotions. I think this is a game a lot of Indiana fans came into expecting to win. Obviously because we beat Ohio State the first time up there. They haven't been playing great at senior night, all those things, but the Hoosiers just looked a little bit off tonight, and we'll talk about that because it's been a trend really these last three games that's a bit concerning. But let's not bury the lead tonight. And the lead is that Indiana is Big Ten champions, not outright yet. We have to beat Michigan to do that. But we do at least share a Big Ten championship, considering where this program came from 4 years ago, 5 years ago. That's an amazing accomplishment. And what these three seniors did and have meant to Indiana basketball is incredible, and it certainly overshadows, one loss in a 25-5 season. So with that said, I want to bring in my co-hosts, Andy Bottoms, Ryan Phillips, get their thoughts. Let's start out talking about the seniors. There'll be plenty of time to break down the Ohio State game if we even get to that tonight. But let's talk about the seniors first. And Andy, we'll give you the floor first.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, a good example of, I guess what's right about college sports, it's easy for everybody to look at some of the things that don't make a lot of sense and that get a lot of the attention. But, you saw three guys, all of whom are going to graduate, two of whom are earning or have earned their master's degree, and all of whom took full advantage of every opportunity that they had in coming to IU, and we're all genuinely thankful for that. And, you could tell they just enjoyed every minute, and obviously there was a lot of disappointment there for the way that You know, they ended their careers in Assembly Hall, and I thought they all kind of, you know, rebounded or pulled it together well enough to kind of go through that. But I thought, you know, in the end, three guys who, as IU fans, I think we would all be proud to have guys like that represent the school and the team. And so in that regard, probably was good for everybody, myself included, to get a little perspective by seeing some of that after the game. You know, compared to, you know, some of the emotions maybe felt immediately following the outcome and kind of seeing some of that and letting those guys get their moment that was definitely well-deserved for all of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it does provide good perspective. You know, you get so caught up in the game, you forget sometimes that these are college athletes. They're, you know, dealing, like Christian Wofford said, with passing finite math, which I'm sure made millions of IU alumni shudder everywhere hearing that phrase brought up again, you know. But I love, you know, hearing the guys, that's one thing about Indiana Senior Night. You always hear the kids, you know, thank the academic advisors. You know, like you said, I mean, Elston and Holzman, those guys are leaving with master's degrees in 4 years. It's just, it's a testament to the fact that no shortcuts were taken rebuilding this program, and these three guys really epitomized that. And that's why I think it was such a moment of pride, not just for Coach Crean and their families and their teammates, you know, to watch tonight, but all of us who cheer for this program. Because, yeah, you lose a game like tonight, it's disappointing, but you can be so proud of what this program is and continues to stand for. And with that said, let's bring in Ryan. Ryan, get your thoughts on these three seniors who played their last game in Assembly Hall tonight.
As disappointed as I was at the performance and the way they played tonight, I was reminded very quickly that Indiana basketball, I mean, we talk about banners, we talk about trophies, we talk about records. Indiana basketball isn't about any of that. I mean, you know, we take pride in that stuff, but what Indiana basketball is about is hard work, dedication, and winning games, but winning the right way and putting something on the court or putting together a group of young men that you can be proud of on and off the court. And that, to me, blows away, and I'm sure everybody else as well, but that blows away wins and losses. And the perspective gained by those speeches, it really kind of took me from a place where I was really upset to emotional, because that's what Indiana basketball is about. It doesn't matter that we just want to, you know, share the Big Ten title or that we could get the number one overall seed in the tournament. I mean, all of that is meaningless if you can't be proud of the people who are representing your university and proud of what they do and who they are off the court as well. And I think tonight we saw three guys and a head coach who are everything you could possibly want representing you. And that's what's important about tonight. Yeah, there are basketball things we're going to talk about here, but I think that everybody needs to have the perspective of where this program was and what it is now and the people that made it that way and how special they are. These weren't just great college basketball players or good kids who played college basketball. These were outstanding people. And we were lucky to be able to watch them at Assembly Hall for 4 years. And I'm never going to forget, you know, the times I got to watch them play. I mean, they're not done yet, but they're done at Assembly Hall. And I feel privileged to have gotten to watch them wear my school's colors.
Oh, I agree with you. And I think that's what's been so special about, you know, this group. That's why, you know, at the end of last year, you know, I was talking about how they should hang a banner for that team, you know, just because what that team accomplished in getting, not just getting Indiana basketball back on the map in terms of being in the top 25 and winning big games, but just the way they were doing it, you know, and that's carried over into this season, which is why banners are being hung this year, you know, from the Big Ten championship to hopefully another one. And, you know, and that's what I loved hearing about, you know, tonight. You know, I loved hearing the story about that Tom Crean told about Jordan Hulls, you know, and how he called Jordan Hulls up. Tim Buckley went out to Pittsburgh to see an all-star game. They decided that they wanted Jordan Hulls. He calls him up, has him come over. The whole family comes. And Tom Crean says, you know, that's a lot of family. He compared it to, you know, to the Kentucky court storming with all the family coming over to accept the scholarship. You know, Tom Crean giving a kid a chance, you know, not because he's a top-rated recruit and you know, has all these physical attributes, but because he had toughness and character and heart. And, you know, I mean, specifically with Jordan Hulls, you know, that's what he's embodied and what he's brought to this program. You know, and a guy like Derek Elston, who, you know, he even mentioned, he came to college not thinking he would graduate. And in 4 years, he's leaving with a bachelor's degree and a master's degree. You know, and Christian Walker, who Tom Crean basically said embodies, you know, where something isn't given to you, you have to earn it. You know, and I think just those stories about those three guys show us what they are, and they show why, you know, yeah, you get big recruits like, you know, like a Cody Zeller, you get guys like Victor Oladipo, but this program turned around because the foundation was built with recruits like these guys. And that's what a night like tonight reminds us. Before we move on to talk about Ohio State, let me go back to you guys real quick and just if you guys want to, I mean, I'll give kind of my memories there of just their speeches tonight, but give each of you guys a chance just to give, you know, a memory of one of their speeches tonight, or just a lasting memory from of one of these guys or all three of these guys, you know, that you'll take moving forward. Andy, we'll go with you first.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know that any one thing stands out. I thought they were all, you know, very well put together in their own way, and each, you know, talked about the things that are important to them. You could tell that, you know, really to all of them, they all touched on the family aspect of things, not only with their own families, but also with the team. And I think, you know, a lot of it speaks well to, the caliber of guys that Crean brought in, even when things were at rock bottom, and the quality of the character and things like that, that it really enabled them all to become leaders, you know, all in a little bit different way, I think, when you look at those guys. But I think you can certainly see, you know, bringing in guys with the right values and things like that, that I think, you know, Crean's kind of talked about from the beginning of, you know, it's not just necessarily taking a guy who's really good at basketball, but it's a certain, you know, mindset and makeup and things like that. I thought they all pretty clearly showed, you know, what that was by the things that they all focused their time on and the things that they got emotional about and those kinds of things. And I think that's, you know, what stands out more than anything else. I'm not sure. Certainly they'll be looked at differently because they went from a team that barely won any games to a team that has at least a share of the Big Ten championship by the time that they left. But I think also some of those values and some of their character allowed them to leave and potentially greater imprint on the program than what they did before. So I guess if anything, that was maybe what stood out for me.
And Ryan, I know you have some special memories / insight with Jordan Hulls that you covered a little bit back in high school days.
Yeah, when he was playing high school at Bloomington South, I covered a game while working for a newspaper in the area when he was a sophomore. And you know, I had heard some noise about Bloomington South having some good players and some young guys, and this is back when he was known to everybody as Jordy, not Jordan. And I think the first game I saw him play, he hit 6 threes. And I looked at him and I just said, there is no way that kid is going to be a high D1 guy. He's good, but his shot is ugly. This off-the-side shot, it works, but it's ugly, and I don't think it's going to last. As if he grows a little bit, he's too small, he's not fast enough. He's all these things. It was almost like I was trying to talk myself out of him because I had a feeling IU would never go for him and he'd be a guy that got away. And, you know, you saw in the tournament playing for a tiny school, making a bunch of big shots 1 year and thinking, you know, what could have been. So as a sophomore, I was trying to talk myself out of him. And that kid, I know everybody talks about Victor Oladipo's growth from his freshman year till now, but from his sophomore year in high school until now, Jordan Hulls has improved as much as any basketball player I've ever seen. I'd put Oladipo maybe just barely ahead of him, because what Hulls did was he took the fact that he was a one-trick pony who could shoot the ball, and he has improved every aspect of his game and made himself a starting guard for, 4 years now on a high Division I program. And, again, it's all hard work. It's ball handling, it's his passing, it's instincts with the ball, it's everything, shooting. That stuff is all repetition, and nobody hits the gym like Jordan Hulls. And I'd always see him around town in Bloomington when I lived there when he was at IU. He was always the most gracious, nice, unassuming, quiet kid, always great with fans, you know, always smiling, always having fun. But that kid is as serious as anybody when it comes to working hard. And I just, I mean, you know, you get the feeling that most of these kids on IU's team are. But with Halls, I just know specifically from having seen him. And I actually got a chance to interview him when he was a senior right after IU had beaten Iowa. And it was the first Big Ten win for Tom Crean the year that they won six games. And I asked him about that just because I was an alum and I knew he was going to IU. And I interviewed him for a little feature we were doing on him. And then afterwards, when I put the mic away, I said, hey, you know, what'd you think of that? And he looked at me and he said, Coach Crean's going to do big things and I can't wait to get there. And, you know, he's there and he's a huge part of everything that's gone on. And it's sad that he won't be get to play in Assembly Hall anymore, but I tweeted it out. I think that one day we're going to see him on the bench at Assembly Hall again as a coach.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, and the other thing that was interesting about his speech is I thought he got a little peek at the edge that he has, you know, when he talked about when his brother brought over his friend and he beat him in one-on-one, and then even talking about, you know, playing horse with his best friend and shooting lefty and still beating him. You know, there's that little edge, you know, where you can tell that he's always kind of proving himself and he is not going to let anybody beat him without a fight, you know, and that's certainly something that he has embodied as a player. And, you know, man, I'm going to miss Jordan Halls. I mean, I'm going to miss all of these guys, Christian and Derek too. Just a special group, a very, very special group. Okay. Now that we've talked about those guys and given them their due, and really we could talk about them for the rest of the show, but we do have to at least mention the game. Let's not belabor it, but we do have to at least mention it because, unfortunately, it's the continuation of a trend that we've seen since the Michigan State game, which is Indiana getting out-toughed, out-physicaled, out-rebounded, being a step slow to loose balls, a lot of the things that Indiana did, you know, to beat teams like Michigan and to beat teams like Michigan State, they have not done and have lost to Minnesota as a result of it, lost tonight as a result of it. And I want to get your guys' perspective because I think there's a, you know, I mean, there's a lot of little individual performances. We go down and we can talk about the shooting and this, that, and the other, and I think there are some offensive concerns. But to me, the biggest concern is I've felt a different mindset from this team since the Michigan State victory, and it's almost like they've forgotten about the little things that mixed in with all of their talent and all of their firepower were the reasons they were winning games and are the reasons why now we've lost two out of three. Andy, let's go to you first and get your perspective on just this game and how the team is kind of struggling now overall.
Yeah, I think at this point, and I know I exchanged, you know, a few messages with you after the game, I think the thing that as you start to look at the team now compared to maybe where it was and you assess what, you know, concerns you about it, if you will, now versus at the beginning of the season. I think the beginning of the year, everybody didn't know what this team was going to be defensively. And now I think to a certain extent, you got to question the toughness because, you know, the teams that have beaten IU this year have all followed a pretty similar model. I mean, Butler was very physical with IU and really out-toughed them on the boards. Certainly the same was true of Wisconsin in that game. Minnesota, certainly that was the case. The Illinois game wasn't really the same thing. I'm not sure what I would call that exactly, but this was kind of the same thing. I mean, Ohio State really was able to make IU uncomfortable in the half court offensively. They did a really good job of taking care of the basketball. They only had seven turnovers, so IU didn't really get any transition opportunities. And really the only time that IU seemed to be in sync offensively was at the beginning of the second half. And at that time, you know, they really traded baskets with IU, or at least enough to not let them build a big lead. And I think at that point, you know, those are times over the course of the season where you see IU get rolling the way that they were at the beginning of the half and scoring on, I think they made their first six shots. That's usually where they were able to create a lot of separation between some of the teams. So you think about, you know, the first half against Minnesota, is the one that immediately springs to mind, but countless other stretches during the season where you really were able to see them, you know, take control of a game or build up a lead. They just simply couldn't get enough stops on Ohio State, whether that was a, you know, putback rebound or shots that Aaron Kraft made or whatever it was. They couldn't take this same advantage of a stretch like that as they've been able to over the course of the year. And I just thought Ohio State seemed tougher. I mean, the rebounding was, you know, relatively even, but it just felt like there were certainly times where they made IU a heck of a lot more uncomfortable than IU was able to make them on the offensive end. And, you know, Ohio State has not been a great shooting team over the course of the season, and they, you know, made 46% tonight, but you kind of take out the three-pointers. They were did nearly all the damage from two-point range and shot really well, and just felt like toughness was the difference. And I know, you know, not having Victor and Cody in for a big part of the first half was a factor there. But the reality is that may happen during the tournament. You've got to have people step up off the bench, and other than, you know, a few solid minutes from Jeremy Hollow in the first half, I don't know that anybody really did that. And quite honestly, you know, seeing and hearing Holtz, you know, he played 31 minutes. It didn't actually feel like that much. I was surprised to see that. And, you know, I guess from a toughness standpoint of a guy who's going to really lay out and sell out to win, he was a guy I guess I would have liked to see a little bit more down the stretch.
Ryan, your exact words to me when the game ended were, "I'm not sure I can talk after watching that." Have you been able to formulate any coherent sentences about the game?
Those speeches really helped me get off the ledge of my building. The problem with this game was the same as the last two. They beat Iowa. They lost to Minnesota. But they were out-rebounded in all three games, and they shot around 40%. That's not the formula IU has used all year. And the reason why they're shooting lower is because they're not getting high-quality shots. Against Iowa, they did miss a lot of cheap ones. Let's face it, that game, there was no flow to that game. There were 52 personal fouls called. I mean, it was ridiculous. There was a lot going on there. But they were missing easy shots. Tonight, like with the Minnesota game, I thought the quality of shot they were getting was terrible. I thought Christian Watford, I liked that he was being aggressive on the inside and going for it, but he wasn't finishing strong at the hoop. I thought the same was true of Yogi. I thought that he showed initiative sometimes and went there, but I think that instead of going up strong, ball faking, getting his defender in the air, trying to get a foul or something like that, he wasn't going up strong. He was getting rejected. And then, you know, the guy who stood out to me was Will Sheehy, and I know I pick on him a lot, and I'm not trying to push that this time because I didn't think that he made a lot of horrible decisions. I just thought there's something off about his play. He's not focused. He's not being the ball of energy that he usually is. He's not providing a spark as the sixth man, and that's his job. And for the last, you know, couple weeks, I've just felt like since that game, against Purdue, where he was perfect from the field and really played a phenomenal game, I think since then he's really just tanked and has not been playing well. And so that's, you know, four straight games we've really not had a great performance out of Will Sheehy, and he's an integral part of the team. You know, his energy off the bench and you know, the spark he provides, and, you know, he has the ability at any time to go for 20, but if he's off in the first 5 minutes, you feel like he's not going to get – he's done for the day. So really, I think it was just a team – I think for the last two games – IU has played very tight. And I think that I thought in the first half in Iowa they were trying too hard to make up for the loss of Minnesota. And then the second half they were maybe even too loose. And then against Ohio State tonight, I think they felt the pressure of, hey, we need to win this game. We need to win this game. We need to win this game and end the season, you know, and wrap up the Big Ten title. And they played timid. And on offense, I thought they were constantly looking for somebody else to do something instead of taking initiative.
Yeah, well, to your point on Sheehy, he had 22 points in that Purdue game. He has 20 total in the four games since then. So just kind of in those numbers, you can see the drop-off in his play. All right, now, Andy, I know that you are going to have to leave us here momentarily, so real quick, I will give you the floor to provide a final thought either on this game or if you'd rather talk about the seniors and ignore what actually happened on the court tonight, that's okay, too, whatever you'd like to say.
I probably should circle back to the seniors so I'll sleep a little bit better, but I'll just a couple of kind of quick thoughts on the game and maybe a look ahead to Michigan. I think, you know, a couple of things stand out looking at the stats. One, Yogi Ferrell tied for the most shots attempted for the team. I think if we look back over the course of the season, that typically does not bode well for IU, and I know that, you know, one of those came at least at the end of the game where he just, you know, kind of threw up a three-pointer. But I think the point remains the same. He has to get other guys involved, and just thought it was a pretty uneven performance from him tonight. He had that one stretch where he scored 5 points in a row, but other than that, I didn't really feel like He brought a great deal on either end of the floor, ended up with two assists. Zeller actually led the team in assists, which is, while he is an adept passer, is probably not the ideal scenario. And I thought he took 9 shots and probably could have or should have attempted even more, particularly with the way he was getting people in foul trouble. I'd kind of echo Ryan's comments on Sheehy. I thought that, you know, he made his one basket on a really nice cut to the rim that he got rewarded for, and I felt like most of the other shots were, at least either at the time that they were or the kind of shot that they were, just didn't seem great. And they quite honestly have to get more of that. And the difference for Ohio State tonight was they had a number of other guys step up besides just Deshaun Thomas. I think, you know, Kraft, Ravenel, Shannon Scott, and Sam Thompson had 40 points between them. There's not too many games Ohio State's been able to say that so far this season. And so I thought that was a lot of disappointing factors. I think Ryan mentioned a number of them, and I think, go back and look at the way this team played, when it's been at its best. There weren't too many of those factors that were on display tonight. So all that being said, I mean, the goal is still in front of them, and it's kind of been a team where they win some games that you don't expect them to, with, you know, going into Ohio State the first time, going into Michigan State, and they lose some games that you would expect them to win in the way they've, you know, lost these couple home games, the Minnesota game I know we talked about. So I certainly wouldn't put it past them, you know, to win at Michigan on Sunday. And I think that, you know, maybe this does alleviate a little bit of the pressure. I think playing in front of the home crowd, they absolutely played tight, and I thought there were times tonight when they panicked as the game started to get away from them a little bit at the end and forced some shots and did some things that, just are rarely going to work out in a positive way. And so maybe playing on the road and not having the pressure of trying to win the Big Ten on senior night in front of the home crowd, maybe that's a difference for them on the road. They certainly know they can play with and beat Michigan. They know they can play with and beat good teams on the road, and certainly would like to see them win it outright. Not that a shared title will diminish the accomplishment and how far things have come for the seniors to kind of circle back a little bit, but certainly one you'd like to see them take care of. So looking forward to a good game on Sunday and hopefully kind of put this one behind us and move forward, because this can't become a pattern. And then you start to look at the draw where, well, I really don't want to face a really physical team in the tournament and have to try to figure out how to do that. I think this team has to continue to try to get back to some of the things that allow them to be successful. You can't waltz into the end zone and win if you're not physical. And I thought they've gotten away from the kinds of things they did there in these last few games. So if they can regain that on Sunday, they certainly have the potential to win that and win the Big Ten championship. If they play like they did tonight, they're going to be sharing it with some number of teams that is to be determined at this point.
All right, Andy. Well, thanks for coming on tonight, and good luck getting your car out of the driveway tomorrow.
Yes, apparently the white death has approached us. I actually am in Cincinnati now, and the fact that I moved 3 hours south apparently means nothing. And now I will be out facing it with people far, far less adept at being able to drive in the snow. So it should be a great time in the morning going to work.
Lovely. Well, stay safe out there, man, and we'll talk to you after the Michigan game.
All right, talk to you then.
Okay, so Ryan, let me ask you a question here, and you can tell me if I'm crazy as I put on some crimson-colored glasses here real quick. You know, that loss to Minnesota, you know, shoot, you even predicted that loss. You know, so we weren't really too upset about that one. This loss, I think, it does bring up some more red flags. And, of course, the whole reason we lost, we have to blame Ohio State for falling out of the top 10, because if they'd been a top 10 team, Indiana would have brought it and won, which is what we do all year, right? But Ohio State only ranked 14th. So, apparently, you know, we didn't feel like we needed to bring the toughness and the physicality tonight. Is there any way that a loss like tonight, where basically a team that you beat on their home floor by playing tough and physical comes into your house, you know, basically slaps you around, takes a victory, can that possibly be a positive wake-up call for this team that hasn't really played well? You know, in the 120 minutes since the Michigan State game, you lose a game like this on senior night, surely they'll watch the film, see themselves being a half step slower to rebound, a half step slower to loose balls, you know, and say, hey, look, we're not doing the things that we did to win. You know, now it's gotten us beat at home on senior night. Let's go. Let's go get this Big Ten title. Let's get back to doing the things that we were doing when we were going to win. Is that just pie in the sky, you know, kind of fan speak, looking for the you know, silver lining, or could that possibly be what goes on with this team and a loss like this helps turn them around?
Honestly, a loss is always a time where you look at yourself and you look inside and you try and figure out what's going on and what's wrong. And I think that, yeah, I mean, a loss can always be a wake-up call. I think it's really hard to teach guys something after a win, really hard, because you won. I mean, you know, even if they're glaring mistakes, you can – you know, deep down subconsciously, whatever you did wasn't that bad because you won the game. Losses should always be something. There's always something you can learn from in a loss. And I do think that that's what this staff has to do, has to go to work with over the next few days, because you've got to beat Michigan. For one, you get the number one seed in the tournament. If Michigan State beats Wisconsin this week, then we get the number one seed regardless. But still, you want to shore that up. You don't want to back into the postseason. And you want to go out fighting against Michigan on the road. You've proven you can win those big road games. And, you know, I think tonight there was so much going on. And, you know, it's really, really hard on kids to step up to those occasions constantly. And let's remember how many big games IU has had this year. How many games are the game of the year? And, you know, even against North Carolina early in the year, everyone was like, well, this is going to, they're number one. We're going to see what can happen against another big team. And, you know, obviously that looks stupid in retrospect because North Carolina is having a really tough season, but it seems like it's been every, you know, week and a half or 2 weeks, there's this big game they've got to live up to. And they've risen to the occasion every time. And then tonight, it was almost like walking in. I mean, I even felt like it was like a coronation. Well, Ohio State showed up to play, and they played very well. We shouldn't take anything away from them. I thought they played a very good, very controlled game and had a great game plan to run clock and frustrate IU as much as possible. And Indiana responded to that at times, but overall, you know, didn't handle it very well, as Andy said. And people are looking for blueprints on how to beat a team like this, and they've got several examples to choose from. And so Indiana's got to prove that it's not going to be backed into playing somebody else's game, and it's going to step up and, you know, play. The Hoosiers have to play their game and not be backed into a corner into playing somebody else's game. And when they do that, they're fine, but they've just got to sort of be reminded of how to do that, I think, right now. So it's going to be an interesting week in Bloomington, I think.
You know, I have zero empirical evidence to back this up, but my theory on senior night games is that, you know, typically your seniors are integral parts of your team. And, I mean, look, these are college kids. They're going to be giving speeches in front of 17,000 people. You know they've thought about it. You know, there are surveys that say that public speaking is a fear greater for people than death. You know, so you know that they've been thinking about it, maybe, you know, had a little anxiety about it. It's taken perhaps some of their focus away that typically they would have on playing. And like you said, you've got the pressure of got to win up. Like, there's this extra pressure on a senior night. And so I feel like it's one of those nights, if you get off to a big lead early, the crowd gets behind you, you coast, and you just, you know, it's one of those easy wins. But if a team comes in like Ohio State did and really kind of punches you in the mouth and plays physical and, you know, makes it a close, you know, kind of grinded out game like they did tonight, then you get what happens with Indiana, where they were tight and never really got into a rhythm. You know, and I don't think it's necessarily that surprising to see something like that happen on a senior night. Again, I have zero empirical evidence. It's just a little theory I'm throwing out to try and explain a very disappointing loss. But yeah, you're right. I think this is going to be an interesting week. I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how Indiana bounces back against Michigan, because look, you go on the road, you beat Michigan, all is well. You're the outright, and you know, the one thing I would disagree with Andy on, you know, where he said that, you know, losing or sharing the Big Ten title wouldn't diminish it at all. Well, it would. I mean, being an outright, going from six wins to 5 years later, winning the Big Ten outright in one of the toughest years for the conference ever is huge. You don't want to share that with anybody. So I think, you know, you come out against Michigan, you do what you've done all year against top, you know, competition like that and beat them, you know, get back to being tough. And I think, you know, maybe we can look back on this little stretch as just a hiccup, you know, for a team that had that big win over Michigan State, started looking ahead a little bit, you know, now maybe a game like tonight can humble you a little bit. And like you said, the coaches will have their ability to do some teaching. And hopefully the team comes out and really performs. And I think if you go up and get that win against Michigan, now that can give you some momentum going into the Big Ten tournament and then into the NCAA tournament, because you definitely don't want to back in. This has been, and that was a great point you made, Ryan, because this has been such a season of momentum, and the team has played so well, you don't want to sputter here right at the end. You know, we got to get that mojo back, get that, you know, get the firepower back going on offense, get the swagger, get the edge back. And that game against Michigan is going to be a great opportunity to do so. All right, we only have a couple minutes left here before our friends at Blog Talk Radio cut us off. And really, there's nothing else that I think to say about that Ohio State loss. It's a loss. It's a very disappointing loss. But we won't really know if it means anything until we see this team play again. You know, and I tend to think that they'll bounce back and have a good game against Michigan. The team is too good, and there is too much of an internal toughness with a lot of these kids, I think, to watch film of that and not take it personally and come out and change it. So that's what I'm expecting to see. But anyway, with that said, let's go to some final thoughts, Ryan, and feel free to ignore the game and just talk about the great seniors if you wish.
I just want to echo what I said at the beginning, is that the three guys who are seniors are just very special people. It's not even about basketball. And we're very lucky to have them here, you know, or at Indiana for 4 years. And I was very proud of the way they handled themselves, their speeches, and you could tell how much it meant to them, not just basketball, but the relationships they forged, you know, getting their degrees. I mean, among the three of them, they're leaving with 5 degrees, which is amazing. And just the way they handled themselves, and with how they broke down and got emotional, you tell that it wasn't just their families or their teammates, but wearing that uniform meant something to them, and that's really special. It's not about, you know, the NBA or the next level or any of that. It's about, you know, the family aspect that Coach Green has brought to the program, and we have to thank him for that, because that's something that had been missing for a long time, and I feel like it's really it's making Indiana's always been a special place, but it's to another level now, and I think we can all understand that. I mean, he can show those senior speeches as a recruiting pitch if he wants to, because it'll show how much this means to everybody involved.
I agree, and I thought one of the greatest statements from Coach Crane tonight is when he said that, you know, when they recruit a kid, they don't just recruit the kid, they recruit the family. And you can really tell, like you said, how much of a family atmosphere there is. And, you know, I mean, this is the Indiana basketball that I remember from growing up, you know, where, you know, the teams win, you know, the majority of their games, and they do it the right way, and you have kids that value the right things. You know, there's that are as good, if not better, off the court as they are on the court. And, you know, I know when I talk about stuff like that with, you know, with fans of other schools, they roll their eyes and, yeah, it's different in Indiana. Well, it is different in Indiana. And I'm not, you know, I'm never shy about, you know, talking about it and saying that's why I'm so proud to be a Hoosier fan, because it is different. It's not just about wins and losses. And people say, oh, so you would rather lose, but lose, quote unquote, the right way than win. Yes, emphatically yes, 100 times over, because this is not professional sports. This is college sports. This is my university, and I want to be proud of wins. They don't mean anything if you're not proud of them. And I know, you know, college sports has all of its problems, all that stuff, but I kind of still like to think that there's, you know, at least to a, you know, to some extent, this idyllic little place in Bloomington, Indiana, where, you know, the ideals of what college sports are supposed to represent still kind of means something. And on nights like tonight, you know, it allows you to believe that they really do, because it sure seems like it. You know, when you have kids get up there and talk like they did, and you see the emotion, and you see the results not only on the court but also off the court. So anyway, you know, you might think it's tough to be really proud of a team and a program on a night where you lose such a disappointing game, but you know, to me, the game tonight is a footnote. This was a great night for the seniors, another wonderful senior night just for the program as a whole. You know, and I know the kids got to cut down the nets as Big Ten champions, but now hopefully they go up to Michigan and get that thing outright, because that would be just a great culmination of the last 5 years, and then it would be on to the tournament to see if we can hang that sixth banner, which is what the kids kept talking about after the speeches. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back with another episode after the Michigan game. Until then, have a great week, great weekend, and we will talk to you soon.